1996, film 431. Well, dear saints of God below, travel this hell of sin and woe. There's a river through the road, make glad the city of America.
may graciously lead, I would ask you to turn in meditation to the book of Daniel in the 6th chapter and at verse 10. The 6th chapter of the book of Daniel and at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In the sovereign pleasure of God in the giving of his holy word, he has set for our instruction various characters, each in their turn setting before us varied lines of consideration, varied aspects of truth. I'm not going to stop this evening to name, but here we have one before us, the case of Daniel. And what have we here? In the record that is given to us of this man of God, the revelation of what at least to you and to me, dear friends, is the mystery of providence. There is no mystery in anything with God. But how many things, my dear friend, do you and I become mysteries in providence? Here is a man who appears upon the sacred page. We know nothing of his pedigree, knew nothing about, save he suddenly appears as a captive, taken to a foreign land. In the process, he is singled out with 3 others to serve the king in the king's way. And in process of time, he is exalted until we come to the chapter before us. And the king here is setting over the kingdom 120 princes, and over them 3 presidents, and Daniel was the first. And then following upon that, and I'm only gathering this up very briefly, for I trust you're familiar with the record, but following upon this, we have Daniel in the position where we find him at the time of our text. The enemies have gathered. Yes, and they're succeeding in their plan. Everything is going their way. Have you ever been there, friend? Have you ever come to the place where you've said, all these things are against me? Providentially, it would seem so in the case of Daniel. And here the decree is signed according to the law of the Medes and Persians. At any rate, whatever that is, at least it binds the king so that he dare not alter it. And the lion's den is waiting. God of providence. Have you ever been mystified, I say, my dear friend, with the things that have developed? Yes, but there's a revelation here, surely not only of the mystery of providence to the man of God, but there's the revelation of the divine overruling. Perhaps you haven't seen that. It comes in the center of Daniel's experience. And you can go back over it, you know it, I trust. But right in the center is this. The divine overruling. He that sitteth upon the throne in his majesty and glory has the whole matter in his hands. That's it. Daniel can't see it at the moment. Perhaps you this evening, I know not where you are, that doesn't matter, my dear friend. Even if I knew a poor impotent a twig of the earth, what can I do? But it's in his hands, the mysteries of Providence. God allows him to be exalted to this position. Almost seemingly from the human comprehension, and only from that standpoint, that the Lord is raising him up to cast him down. Mysteries. Yes, but my dear friend, let me remind you of this. That grace was here underlying it all, so that this dear man of God never allowed prosperity to interfere. My dear friend, stands before us in the exemplification of this. Time permitted, we might go to other characters. I think of one, my dear friend. And in the time of prosperity, his heart was lifted up. But not with Daniel. But in all the mystery, friend. In all the mystery. Yes, God is not always pleased to lead in the limelight so that you and I can trace every moment and every step, but has exhorted us to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh yes, some poor heart says yes, that's hard. It is, friend. But remember, he who orders it knows it. Yes. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith, remember. But the mystery of it all. I've had those words running through my mind almost all day today. May I read them to you? How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he derives from the dead. His fairest pretensions must wholly be waived, and his best resolutions be crossed, nor can he expect to be perfectly saved till he find himself utterly lost. When all this is done, and his heart is assured of the total remission of sins, when his pardon is signed and his peace is procured, from that moment his conflict begins. So writes Joseph Hart, and he writes surely from the gracious experience of what he wrote. Mysteries. Mysteries of providence. I know there are mysteries of grace, but I mean in the mysteries of providence that we're dealing with here this evening. But how does Daniel meet them? I want to look at this a little, as the Lord may enable. How do you and I meet them? Perhaps we shall find an avenue of gracious instruction if the Spirit of the Lord is pleased to lead a little into the contemplation of the theme before us here. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. His windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want to notice first of all Daniel's constant and regular devotion. Daniel's constant and unwavering, unaltered devotions. He prayed much here a moment. There's always much to pray about, friend. Never a moment, never a second in the life of the pilgrim here upon earth, but what there's much to pray about. There's need for the exhortation. I know it's always followed by the statement, well, of course, this doesn't mean incessantly. And would to God it was. Pray without ceasing. My dear friend, can I put it this way? God forbid that I should put myself in any way, but I gave up long ago having set times for prayer. They can become so formal, so customary. My dear friend, learn to pray anywhere, everywhere. I pray many, many, many times driving my car along the road. I pray walking along the street, though I don't do much walking these days. I pray in bed, I pray while I'm laying and can't sleep. I pray during the day, I pray almost everywhere. Oh friend, there's much to pray about. And as the days grow darker and darker, at least in Zion particularly, surely the call for prayer is greater than ever, ever before. If you search out here the matter of Daniel, you'll find him praying, of course, for himself. Prays about his position. Praise about his rulers, praise about his friends, praise for his enemies. He ever sought to please God. Ah, my dear friend, God has set these things. I know, if I know anything at all about these things, I can hear you each say, oh, but how far short I fall. Yes, friend. Why, I turn over the page back again to that first chapter, and what do I find here? The king says, set them aside, four of them, set them aside, let them eat the meat of the king's house and drink his wine, and keep them on that diet for 3 years, for I want them fully qualified. Daniel says, I don't want anything of it. I'm not going to have anything of it. And I don't want 3 years, 10 days. 10 days. It'll do. Confidence. Have you got it? Have I? Remember the position, my dear friend. The eunuch is saying, but look here, don't you realize what this means to me? It means death. Daniel, in effect, was saying it's perfectly all right. It's not in my hands, it's in the hands of another. You give us leave to have pulse. I know you despise it. I know you consider there's no value in it, no nutrition, no anything. Give us pulse to eat 10 days. And look at us after 10 days. The mighty God of Jacob, who can govern a mess of pottage and who can govern too a pulse in a bowl. To govern all matters. After 10 days they were fatter than all the others. Oh, my dear friend, this is the man. His regular devotions, he had much to pray about, he had much to give thanks for. Yes. If you and I, you've got much to thank, to pray about truly. And we shall never be devoid of that. But oh, dear heart, can you feel a little welling up in your poor soul in the midst of all the gloom and the shadows and the storms and the tempest? In the midst of all the anguish and grief and strife that seems to envelop your life, is there a little glimmer there for which you can give thanks? He's not delivered, my dear friend. Delivered. This is right in the king's palace, in the king's country at any rate. He's under the king's command and rule, and whatever the king says must be done. Yes, very easy, my dear friend, when in the world, to conform to the world, my dear friend. Oh yes, I hear people talk very glibly, you know, about being saying, well, you know, we've got to be charitable. You know, there's far too much charitability in the world today, at least so I find it. This man, he said, I don't mind where I am. I put my God to the test. I'm not going to tell you about that. You wouldn't understand if I told you about it. No. The secret of all this, my dear friend, is that Daniel has got a real religion. Have you, friend? I say, have you? And have I? I have an awful fear. I know I've said this more than once in various places, but it's a truth, friend. It gnaws at my poor heart continually, lest I should be resting upon a false hope. The Word of God clearly reveals it. Ah, friend, this man has got a real religion. He's not ashamed of it. Come to that a little closer. But, oh, friend, this is the secret of it. This is the secret of it. Not some wild fancy of the brain, not some metaphor that we speak, but a living, vital, godly religion, a reality. And it'll be so, my dear friend, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to teach you and I what we are by nature and show us the reality of sin, being belittled today, being excused. I only had a man, what fortnight is it? Oh, I don't know, maybe a month ago. Stranger to me, but he telephoned me and asked if he could come see me. I said, yes. He said, you wouldn't know me. He came. He's a man that was seeking. An established churchman. He said, I've become so starved. He said, I'm looking round. I said, what are you looking for, friend? Do you know? Yes, he said. I'm looking for Calvinism. I got to bless God right in front of his face. Yes, a man in his, if I'm a judge at all, middle 40s at least, seeking for Calvinism. I said, where you been seeking it? Well, he said, I won't go in. No, I said, don't go into all the details. I don't want to know that. He said, well, I tell you, I went to one place in Oxford last Lord's Day. That was the previous Lord's Day to when he saw me. He said, I went into so-and-so. I said, yes, I know. A place that years ago had a reputation, at least, not a strict Baptist chapel. No, not our cause at Oxford, no. But a place that did years ago have a reputation, at least for being sound. Well, he said, I'm sorry, I just can't remember the text. The sermon was only a quarter of an hour, and he spent all the time, he mentioned sin, but he spent all the time excusing it. God ought to recognize when a man has done his best, God ought to recognize it. And that's what's being proclaimed from the pulpits today. But didn't the religion Daniel knew? He had a real religion. Have you been brought to cry for mercy? Ah, friend, yes. Vital matter. Oh, may God save us from resting upon a false hope or a false foundation, only at last to find him and to hear him solemnly declare the awful words, depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, we prophesied in thy name. We've done many wonderful works in thy name. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Here is a man, I say, has a real remembrance, a real religion that carried him back first of all. Does your religion carry you back there from? You say, well, I thought I was done with the past. Well, I haven't. I have to keep going back to the past and to remember the rock from whence I was hewn, and the hole of the pit from whence I was digged. Well, I have to go back to remember that he brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And Daniel goes back surely in the remembrance of former mercies, and they constitute the encouragement. Lord, thou hast. Those lovely words given to us through the apostle who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we hope he will yet. There's the ground of it. He hath delivered. That inspires hope, strengthens and kindles hope to look onward. What are you looking forward to the future on the ground of, my dear friend? You don't look back at yourself. You won't look back at a precious Christ. You won't have need to. Ah, friend, I say here is a man who remembered former mercies, and he remembered that he had a faithful God. A faithful God who never fail. And you, my dear friend, you can look back. I don't mind if you've known the Lord 100 years. You can look back and you find one place where the Lord has failed. One. This is what Daniel is resting upon in this time of storm and tempest. When from the human angle there was no way out, he shut right in. Friend, that's when you'll prove the reality of a God-given religion, friend. And the Lord shuts you in like he did Noah of old, surrounded with the floods, but the Lord shut him in. And I want the Lord to shut me in too. His hand to be on the handle of that door and preserve me from trying to alter it. Yes, a man who knew, called to remembrance, a faithful God, a man who had known an unshakable experience, as he went back to that experience of the first chapter to which I have referred. It's blessed, my dear friend, when you can go back to something like that, when Satan comes in like a flood, and you can turn to him and say, well, now shake me out of that. Shake me out of that. Daniel went back to the pulse. He called it to remembrance. God appeared there. 10 days. Beyond all human power. Time forbids to go into what pulse is really. I have to leave all that. But let me just only say this. In 10 days, it's impossible from the human angle to derive any material, any outstanding benefit, if any benefit at all. You've got to live on pulse for a long time. It'll keep you alive, but that's about all by itself. Daniel remembered that. After 10 days, he was fatter than all the king's provision and all the king's wine and all the king's everything else. And you won't forget it, my dear friend, when the Lord grants you a deliverance, even if it's 40 or 50 years back. It'll become a foundation in your poor heart and mine. But here is a man that had an unwavering faith. A man who had an unwavering faith. What a blessed gift. When Daniel knew that writing was signed, in other words, when he knew exactly all that it meant, there was no misconceptions in the mind of Daniel. When he knew it, he went into his house. His windows being open, oh my dear friend, he didn't draw the blinds. Forgive me if I put it that way, they'll understand it better. He didn't draw the blinds, but he threw the windows up. And I believe Daniel knew that they would be watching him. He threw the windows up and he knelt there at the window. I don't know whether it was customary for him always to do it, but he did it now. He may have other times have knelt down over there, but he come facing the... Oh, my dear friend, this is an unfailing faith. Oh, my God, give us a little of it. When he knew, that was the governing thing, almost as if he had been waiting for the writing to be signed. And when he knew it, he went straight to prayer. That's it. That's the secret. Oh, friend, I don't know whether I'm talking to you or to myself this evening, friend. But God bring us there. Not sitting down and saying, well, now, what do I think about this? Now look, there's that and that and that and that, and you reasoned it out, and by the time you finish, you're going to hell if you haven't got there already. Isn't it? Is it true? Ah, friend. Daniel went straight to prayer. Forget everything else I say, friend, let's get there. In times of trouble, pray. You're in a safe place, my dear friend. No mind about that or the other. Get into the position. Prayer, not sitting down with your own human reason. For that'll only deceive you. At least my heart does mine. Yes. A man here who has unwavering faith and the word of God declares the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God, and that's where you'll know him from. That's where you'll know him. I'm not excluding all the other avenues, but chiefly there. On your knees before God. Yes, this is the unfolding of the man of God here. And he had a love to his God, and he longed and desired only to please him. Of course, these are heights, you may say. Yes, it's true, friend. But who's going to measure the heights that grace will bring? When, however high you may rise, still there is emblazoned over the top of you, my grace is sufficient. When you and I have failed, when grace has failed in relation to us, then, my dear friend, you can begin to think in other directions. Not till then. My grace is. It is. The ever-present is sufficient, not partially, as some would have us to understand today. If you do your best, if you do your utmost, the Lord will reward and do the remainder. All I can do is grovel in the dust. Yes, and the poor man in the gospel couldn't lift his eyes to heaven. Yes, here is a man, I say, who loved God and desired only to please him. Daniel's reward. It didn't come, my dear friend, the way he expected it. Neither did he come when he expected it. Look at this a little. Without going, for time is limited. But you will remember that the king had to come and say, the writing is signed. In fact, in verse 14, the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased. He would have changed his mind if he could. And my God never changes his mind. Bless his dear name. And so Daniel must go into the den. When? When? In the evening of the day. in the evening of the day. And when was he delivered? In the early hours of the morning. Now, I'm not going to read into this what isn't there, but there's a lot here that's implied, my dear friend. There may have been a light in that den, I don't know. But all through the night, Daniel is standing there and the lions are there. And hour after hour, the omnipotence of Jehovah is upon them. The natural reactions of those beasts is to tear into pieces. But not a single shaft can hit. Throughout the night. You see, it didn't come the way as he expected. It won't come the way you expect. You want deliverance at once, don't you? I say you, I mean, of course, we, including us. Lord, take this away. He delivered Daniel. He delivered his disciples in the fourth watch of the night. They've been toiling and rowing all night. It's here, my dear friend, if you have a prayerful desire to get. I know it isn't here in actual words, but surely the record gives it. The Lord didn't deliver when Daniel expected, neither will he when you and I expect, nor the way you expect. But he will deliver. How do I know? Here's the word. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver. But Lord, no buts. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. And the trouble may be the trouble of the sinner in his sin, or the saint in his providential path, or the experiences of his soul. Whatever your trouble may be or mine, my dear friend, there's the exaltation. There is the pledge of Jehovah. He's covenantly undertaken, I will deliver it. But he'll do it in his own way, and he'll do it in his own time. And he does it here, for as he did, of course, for the three friends of Daniel. We're not connected with them this evening. But we can link them up in this connection. They've got to go into the furnace, and they didn't have to go just inside, you know. They had to walk about. How long they were in there, I don't know, and I'm not going to put a time upon it, but it does tell us that they were walking about with the fourth. Blessed thought. Even in the furnace, to be walking about with Christ. Think of it. Would you rather have the furnace with Christ? Or would you rather be without the furnace and without Christ? As he almost said in effect to Paul with his thorn in the flesh, Paul, do you want me to take away the thorn and take away the grace with it? Or do you want the thorn with the grace? They'll all go together, friend. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not. When he had pledged himself, so Daniel's reward he is delivered. But I want to look, time runs on very quickly. I want to look at this deliverance a little. It came as mysteriously. As mysteriously as those steps that led up to it. But remember this, my dear friend, that the Lord has control of the mysteries. As I said earlier, the mysteries are yours and mine, they're not his. I know the thoughts I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace. What, a lion's den? Yes! Thoughts of peace. A burning fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been before? Yes. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. It came mysteriously, but it came unquestionably. The king couldn't deny it. All the host of the retinue, the soldiers, they couldn't deny it. Daniel couldn't deny it. Nobody could deny it. The king rushed out in the morning, as the record says, and he quite expected, I believe, to find, if there was anything left at all, a few bones. Oh, he said, Daniel, Daniel, has your God delivered you? Yes, oh yes, oh yes. I expected him to deliver. I didn't know which way it was coming or when it was coming. I harboured a thought he might prevent me having to go down into the den at all. I don't know. I had all sorts of thoughts in my mind. It's come mysteriously, but here I am, O king. It's all right. It's all right. And his 3 friends equally. As I said, I don't want to get into that. We've enough before us, but his friends said, when the king turned and said, don't you realise the position? Do what I tell you and you'll be perfectly happy, perfectly safe, and if not, into the furnace. We're not careful to answer you about this matter, O king. We're not careful, we're not worried. Because we know our God can deliver, and even if he doesn't deliver, we're not going to bow down to you, O king. And there's the furnace in front. I say, my dear friend, if you ever tried to stand in the position of these men and cast it upon one side and say, well, this, of course, is the history of a man that lived long ago, and don't cast it equally aside and say, as I pointed out, that he is a man of God. Nobody had ever been delivered from a lion's den before. So that Daniel couldn't say, well, you delivered so-and-so from the lion's den, so I have got encouragement that you'll do the same again. The Lord, you see, puts it reverse in his word. He never repeats himself. Poor Peter is standing on the gunwale of the boat. He's full of fear. There's something out there, and it looks like a spirit. Lord, if it's thou, bid me come. Come. Stepped down. Nobody's ever done it before or since. This is the hand of deliverance. This is the way of deliverance. But he would have us casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, that we could have the grace, my dear friends, and the living faith to rest in it, to believe it, to feed upon it, to be nourished, strengthened, and grow in relation to it. His deliverance was sovereign. Oh, blessed be his dear name. Lions, ravens, waves of the sea, kings, mighty foes, what does it matter? What does it matter? A drought for Elijah, widow woman up at Zarephath, what does it matter? Are you limiting the Lord, my dear friend? Are we limiting the Lord this evening? You can't see a way out. Neither can I, friend. Neither can I. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't mean, my dear friend, that you and I should just in a state of fatalism say, well, I shan't trouble. That isn't. But rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And here's the display of sovereignty. Oh, and people tell me they don't believe in sovereignty. Well, my dear friend, if you don't believe it this side of the grave, you'll go to hell. You will. For if he hasn't got sovereignty over my sinful heart, my dear friend, then something is wrong. And got sovereignty over those lions, every one of them. As I've said already, their natural reaction. Put somebody in the lion's cage at the zoo. What do you expect? Oh, friend, those lions, there they are. And they've got to stand there and look at Daniel. Sovereignty, friend. My times are in his hands. All events at his command. We sang that lovely hymn at Grove Sunday morning. Sovereign ruler of the skies. Ever gracious, ever wise. Here it is. When Daniel knew the writing was signed. Yes, and so he went to this unashamedly. As I've said, he didn't pull down the blinds, my dear friend. He opened the windows of his chamber toward Jerusalem and he kneeled upon his knees. He didn't say, well, I don't want to see them. I can pray just the same if I walk round the room. No, you can't, friend. Not if the Lord would have you kneel down in front of your enemies. Not in front of your enemies. He kneeled down. Oh, yes, he said, I can't make any excuses. I can't understand this. This is all mystery. But I believe there is an eye that never sleeps. I believe there's a power omnipotent, and I believe that all that he wills will come to pass, and I believe that what he wills is best, and the ways of the Lord are right. They are, friend. And so he bows himself down here. Remember, this is answered prayer. Answered prayer. Do you ever go back, my dear friend, and call to remembrance, answered prayers? Answered prayers in the mercy of God. Yes, bless his dear name. He brings the poor sinner down into the dunghill to show him his need. And then he imparts, oh, it's all his hand, friend. You trace it out. And then that sinner responds. You never saw, my dear friend, a sinner, two sinners together. I mean real sinners. I don't mean the Pharisee and the publican now. But two sinners under the sweet influence of the Spirit of God, and you never knew one to go out into the world for help and the other went to Christ, did you? And I don't mind, my dear friend, what colour of the skin or know what language they speak. Be they at the very isolated ends of the earth, if the Spirit of the Lord comes on a sinner, he'll come to Christ. That's grace. Never go anywhere else. Not under the influence, I repeat and stress. Not under the teaching of the Spirit of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And they meet in the centre of divine love, the centre of the covenant sacrifice, the centre of the blessed atoning blood, the centre of everything else in the mind of a triune God. And him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. This is basic truth. Fundamental truth. Free, sovereign, blessed, glorious grace, my dear friend. And I say here is the deliverance. But Daniel's action is deliberate. As he had done aforetime. Didn't alter his mode of procedure at all. He wasn't ashamed, as I said earlier. May the Lord forgive if I'm wrong in that thought, but my poor heart has looked at Daniel and He almost looked through those windows before he knelt down, and he could see them hiding round the corner. And he did it deliberately. I want to say this, beloved. Are you ashamed lest anybody should see you? I don't mean only in prayer and anything. Are you ashamed to see you, for your neighbours to see you coming into the house of God? Are you ashamed that they should know you're a strict and particular Baptist? He did it deliberately. In spite of all, he knew they were watching, but he knew this dear man was watching. And his blessed advocate was pleading before the throne on his behalf. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the praise. Oh, yes. Wouldn't we render it to him that he's not allowed us, he's not allowed us to go away, never to return? True, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we're continually going astray now. Do you remember, my dear friend, your straying hasn't ended. Not by a long way. But bless his dear name. As David said in the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff. Oh, he said, I thank thee, my heavenly shepherd, you've got a staff that you can put round my neck and pull me back when I got up amongst those bushes. Away out there into Vanity Fair. Yes, oh, he has a staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod there for the enemies, of course. Not the rod of correction. That's the rod of, this is the shepherd's rod for the enemies, and the staff for the sheep. Don't get them confused, my dear friend. Oh, yes. And so Daniel here commits himself into the hand of omnipotence, as though he would say, what time I am afraid, I will trust. And I will trust and not be afraid. We have no ground, really, my dear friend, for fears of... What are thy fears about? Oh, I know, yes. They arise from this carnal heart of ours, and Satan fans them and multiplies them and molests us with them on every hand. But, oh, friend, according to your faith, oh, I bless his dear name, he didn't say according to your fears. According to your faith be it unto you. But he did say too, didn't he, O ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? I must leave the matter with you, friend, but oh, friend, the Lord would give us a little of this confidence of a living faith of this dear man, for we shall have to know the mysteries of providence. And they are very big mysteries sometimes that bring much anguish and pain and sorrow. But oh, to lie passive in his dear hands and know no will but his. For I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of you. But what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. After the experience, you'll know. Under the sweet sanctifying of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord bring us there. And until he is pleased to appear, may we be able to lay at his dear feet and say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
The Lord will, as the God will preacher, my on Sunday next morning and evening, there will be a prayer meeting on Monday next. Let's close with hymn number 397, June 494. In themselves, as weak as worms, heaven for the weaker stand, and temptations, foes, and storms, press them close on every hand. June 494.
Of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us each and with all of thy people everywhere, both now and evermore. Amen.